Hello, and welcome to the Audio Ask Q&A audio. It's something quite a few have been asking about because it seems that the answers I give on my regular Tumblr asks are a bit what you would say short, sometimes sarcastic, and not really answering the question that you're asking. And I admit to that. And so, at your request, I thought I'd go ahead and record this audio and give you some real serious answers. And with that, why don't we get started? So, question one. I'm thinking about starting my own page for making audios. Any tips? Yes. So my first tip would be to, if you're going to record, make sure you record stuff that you're passionate about yourself. Like not just, oh, hey, you know, someone else suggested this, and even though I'm not feeling it, I'll go and record it anyway, because that is going to come through in the audio itself. Like if you're not into it, it shows. So I know when I try to record audios, I make sure the idea that I'm going to do, I'm just really feeling jazzed up about it, because those are always the best kind of audios. Like the passion that you have for it will always shine through. And, like, like, there are some audios I've listened to, like, you could tell the person was really into it because it sounds like they were just, like, reading something off a page. And so I think that having that part to it is very, very important. Even more important than even the idea itself. Because you could have, like, some audios I've listened to that, like, maybe the whatever they're recording wasn't really something I was into. But the fact that they were like so, so into it made it still enjoyable to listen. And other audios where, yeah, the, you know, whatever the topic or the fantasy was something I really enjoyed. But the fact that the person, like they were just kind of lukewarm about it, that just kind of ruined the whole thing. So that would be one. Two would be to try to focus at least a little bit, or you know, as much as you can, on getting good audio quality, because to me that would be like the most important thing when I listen to it now. Because like now that I've heard what like good high quality audio sound like, when if I go back to audios I used to listen to that, you know, either like a fan running in the background, or you know, an air conditioner going off, or whatever, just anything that happens in an audio that kind of distracts you from listening to the person's voice is just, I don't know, it could be just like the smallest thing, but as long as it kind of takes you out of that fantasy, it has like a really bad effect on stuff. So that'd be the other thing. And anything else, I'd say just if you're starting out, just practice, really. All you really need is just maybe the microphone on your phone, and that's good enough to get started. That's how I got started. And then eventually I knew I wanted to get better and better. And so I, got a better microphone at some point, and, that helped out tremendously. So yeah. And then, oh, next question. What kind of equipment do you use to record your audios? So, like I said, I started out just using my phone. I think a couple times I use like my iPod or whatever. Currently, and I guess for a while now, I've been using the Blue Yeti. It's like a USB microphone you have to plug into your laptop, but I like it. I think it's as far like it's a good balance of it's affordable. I think it's only like $100, but at the same time, you get pretty decent quality audio on it. You know, it's not the best. There's definitely like more expensive microphones you can get that give you better quality, but I think it strikes a pretty good balance. And I know a lot of other people that who record whose audios I enjoy, they use either the Blue Yeti or the Blue, I want to say Snowball is the other one that they make. It's like a little bit cheaper, but it still gives you pretty decent quality. So those are pretty good. And then also I don't think it comes with it because I think I had to buy mine separately, but just like a it's called a pop filter. If you get one of those, that helps out tremendously as well. So yeah, that's what I use to record. And let's see. Ooh, this is an interesting one. What's your favorite sport? Well, I guess that depends on if you're talking about like my favorite sport to watch or my favorite sport to play myself. 'Cause I don't know. I've never really been a fan of like football, like American football, because there's a lot of time they spent setting up for, which then follows by very, very little gameplay. I like sports that are usually like more active, just like nonstop action in them. And so because of that, I recently just started to get into like NBA. So watching that kind of stuff is fun for me. As far as playing myself, I would say anything that has like a lot of running. So like soccer, basketball. I tried my hand in tennis, but I wasn't too good at it. So I guess those would be it. And actually now I was just like midway through answering that, I realized I think I'm talking kind of fast, so I should probably like consciously try to slow it down a little bit. Because I know like some people have written to me and said that they wanted me to record an audio that wasn't sexual, that they just enjoy listening to my voice for, I guess, the voice itself. And I don't know, it's like it's kind of interesting to hear people tell me that they find my voice like soothing and relaxing, and it like helps them calm down. And yeah, it's not really something you'd expect to hear making the kind of audios that I do, but it was definitely interesting. Like I enjoyed that. Thank you for those of you who wrote to me and said, you know, all those kind things. I'm glad you like my voice, and I'll do my best to kind of make this audio enjoyable for as many people as possible. 'Cause yeah, I don't know, maybe I should make it like all nice and soothing and help. I know some people have said that like they'll listen to my voice to help them fall asleep, which, man, that's really cool. And let me get on to the next question. Question number four. Have you watched 50 Shades of Grey? Would you be catching the next one, 50 Shades Darker? I haven't, but I've been really meaning to. Part of the reason I haven't, oh God, my foot. Don't laugh. Part of the reason I haven't seen it yet is I've heard, so like no one can really deny its success, but pretty much everyone that is into BDSM that I've heard talk about the book have mentioned it's not good, at least in that it's a very bad representation of like what a good relationship should be like. And so I don't know. I'll probably watch it just to kind of form my own opinion on it, but as far as, well, I don't know. It's kind of like if it is true what people are saying about it, that it's not showing you what a healthy relationship was supposed to be like, on one hand, that's bad. At the same time, the fact that it's kind of getting a lot of, it's bringing a lot more attention to the mainstream about BDSM and kinks, and if that helps people kind of be more accepting of it, then that has to be a good thing. Because I know a lot of my listeners, a lot of people I've talked to that also record, it's kind of been a common theme between all of us how just finding, when you first find out about your kinks and, you know, that you like this kind of stuff, there is like kind of a shame to it. And part of that is just form based off other people's opinions. It's always kind of like this little thought in the back of your head going, oh no, I can't like this kind of stuff because if anyone ever found out, what would they think of me? And that I think that that's something everyone struggles with, that has kinks. And so if this kind of helps everyone be more open-minded and help people accept their fantasies easier without as much shame, then yeah, that could only be a good thing. But yeah, if you want, message me, I don't know, maybe a week or two from now, because by then I'll probably have watched it, and if you want, we can talk about it. Next question. Favorite movie of all time? Fuck, why did you have to ask me that? I'm a big, like, movie buff. I love movies. I love, just everything about movies, like talking about them, you know, what makes a good movie, what makes a bad movie, just talking about them in general is always fun. And there's so many good ones to choose from, but I would have to say my favorite movie would be 12 Angry Men. And I like that movie because, so for me, movies are kind of an extension, like they're an entertainment form, like just like music and books and all this other stuff. And entertainment, I think, in some shape or form has always been about storytelling. Like as far back as humanity goes, you know, it used to be just like dudes who would tell stories. Then they decided to start writing them down in books. Then you'd have bards who would tell you a story through song. And I think now that we have the technology for it, we also have storytelling through film. But it's gotten to that point recently where it's less and less about telling a story and more about all these like gimmicks surrounding the movie. Like, you know, Michael Bay, for example, it's all about like this explosions and the sound of, or not the sound effects, the visual effects and just everything that's kind of superficial that takes away from the core of what the movie is about, which to me is always the story. Like if a movie doesn't, in general, there are exceptions, but if a movie doesn't have a good story, then I'm not very likely to enjoy it. So going back, I'm going to do that a lot where like it might be a simple question and I start out on track and then I'll just go off in all these different directions and on different tangents. So that'll happen quite a lot, just so you know now. And that's one of the reasons why in my audios, I really, really try to focus on having a good story to do all the, you know, sexual stuff around, because that's what, I don't know, I like creating stories. And, you know, anyone, or I guess a good way of putting it is, if it didn't have that story to it, it would just be another porno. It would just be some sexual thing you can find anywhere else on the internet. And I feel like this, or like having that extra attention to a believable and relatable plot, just kind of makes it unique and different from anything else you could experience. So Going back to the original question, why is it my favorite movie? Because it's so true to the core of storytelling. Because there's no gimmicks. It's like a black and white movie. There's only the 12 Angry Men plus like one or two other characters. The set is really simple. It's literally just 12 men in a room talking for an hour and a half, and yet you have this so much happens in the movie. I realized maybe on my third or fourth watching of the movie that we don't even know any of their names, and yet each of the 12 characters has such a distinct personality, and they each bring something to the story. And to be able to do that, again, without relying on the crutch of making a movie interesting with explosions, all this other stuff, again, it just goes back to being so true to the art form of storytelling. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is just the fact that the movie stands as kind of like a champion of logic and reason and not giving in to your own personal biases. Because if you haven't seen it yet, it's a story about how there's this boy on trial, and 11 out of the 12 jurors, they just immediately think, oh yeah, this boy's guilty. There's no doubt about it. Let's, case closed, let's go home. And then the one man who doesn't believe that the boy is guilty, he slowly gets everyone else to change their minds by just kind of examining things from a different viewpoint, and not just not giving in to the emotional appeal, but looking at everything reasonably and figuring out, oh hey, this person thought they're guilty because of there's one guy who has a bad relationship with his son, so that's why he thinks that way. But yeah, I don't want to spoil any more of the movie. If you haven't seen it, I really, really, truly recommend it. It is amazing. It's just everything a good movie should have, it has. I don't know. Now I'm just like rambling, but I really liked it. And just like the way I usually start out with movies is I give it the benefit of the doubt, and then I only start to dislike it after it does something wrong. But 12 Angry Men, I'm one of those people where like I nitpick. And so 12 Angry Men, it when I started out watching it, there really wasn't anything wrong with it that I could find that usually I can see, all the time in other movies. So yeah, it's fantastic. All right. Man, that was a long answer. Thank you for asking that. Next question, where is it? Oh, okay, here we go. Hi, sir. Do you have any fetishes? If so, what are they? I keep like getting distracted. I need to move the cursor so I can keep track of where the questions are. Okay, so first of all, I can't believe you asked me that. Do I have any fetishes? For real? Okay, I'm not gonna do that again. yeah, I do. Well, if you've looked through the picture posts on Tumblr, there's kind of a pattern, really. It's so I like really well-dressed women. So, but fuck, how do I describe it? It's like classy with just a little hint of slutty. So like, it's sexy, but it's still almost professional. Like high heels, but not the fetishy, like thigh-high boots that are latex and all that kind of stuff. No, just like regular, like things, an outfit you'd actually wear yourself, without turning too many eyes. Something that's quote unquote normal. So yeah, like high heels, stockings, skirts that go down to like maybe just above the knee, stuff like that, where it doesn't reveal too much, but it still kind of teases you a little bit with and makes you think, you know, what else is there? And yeah, one other thing, I don't know if any of you have picked up on it, is I kind of have a silk and satin fetish. So like slips, like all the lingerie kind of stuff. Oh my God, fucking like silk panties. Jesus fuck. And like, yeah, silk and satin blouses. I don't know. Just something about like the way it looks and the way it feels. It does things to me. But yeah, I think those are probably the main ones. Really just like, yeah, any of the stuff that I post on my Tumblr, you can assume it's a fetish of mine. So yeah. Next question. Have you ever cheated on someone, or has someone cheated on you? How would you react if that happened? So to my knowledge, I haven't cheated on anyone. As far as I know, no one's cheated on me. If they did, well, here's how I look at it. Nowadays, I don't really do the whole like committed relationship thing a whole lot, just because I don't think everyone should be able to choose what they want. It's not really fair to like force someone into something. Like it's not right, in my opinion, to take away people's choices. So like if someone chooses to be with just me, and it's something, you know, again, it's their choice, that's terrific. I really appreciate that they would do that for me. And I think that's how it should be done. So for me to go, oh, you know, if you want to be with me, that means you're not allowed to be with anyone else. To like to put that restriction on someone, I wouldn't feel right about doing that. And so I think if two people are like truly committed to each other, they'll do it out of just respect for each other. It's a sacrifice they would make. Like, yeah, I like you so much that I'm willing not to sleep with anyone else just for you. I think that's a much better way of looking at it, because it kind of circumvents the whole cheating problem. Because if they're the kind of person that are going to cheat on you anyway, well, then you're not committed to them. And if you are committed to someone, it's because you know they're not the kind of person that would cheat. So that kind of works out. Going back to the question. So yeah, how would you react if that happened? If it did, I don't know. I wouldn't. I'd be disappointed. Maybe a little upset. But again, it's not really something I do very often anymore. So yeah, it's. I guess not something I've felt in a very long time. So, yep. So yeah. And oh my God! All right, seriously, you guys don't laugh. You know, if I sit too long in one spot, my feet fall asleep. Because I'm like, in my commitment for amazing sound quality, I'm recording like literally in my closet right now to block out as much background noise, and I have this like little contraption with like pillows on either side of the microphone to absorb even more sound. Again, I suffer for my art just for you guys. Question, come on. Okay. Is there a fantasy you have that you haven't already experienced? want to say no. Pretty much like all the role plays and ideas I've done in my audios, I've had a chance to like act out in person. So, I have to think of one, but no, I've been lucky in that. Yeah, I see some pretty open-minded people, and yeah, everything I've wanted to try, I've been able to. That's pretty nice. Next question. Do you act like a dom even in non-sex related stuff? I'm wondering what I'm really like curious how some of you picture me in like my day-to-day life. 'Cause like obviously, when I'm at work, I'm not like, oh, yeah, you know, fill me or fill out that report, you dirty little slut. Like, that's, you know, that's not what I do. it'd be hilarious if I did. Well, no, I was gonna say that'd be a good idea for an audio, but I already did an audio like that. It made a coworker. I would say, like, I'm not dominant 100% of the time, but if there is an opportunity that arises where it requires me to be dominant, then yeah, I will be. It all just kind of depends on the context. It's kind of like, you know, I guess like kind of like the image of my average listener is, you know, the shy, intelligent, quote unquote, good girl that secretly enjoys being very, very slutty. And so it'd be like asking, well, are you always slutty? And even when you're not listening to my audios, then I imagine the answer is you're not. I'm sure you are sometimes, but that's not what drives you in day-to-day life. So it's kind of like that, where it's like always kind of there in the back of my mind, and it comes out when I need it to, but most of the time I really don't have to use it, so it just stays in the back. Although I will say, on the topic of just kind of always being there, I may not act in a dominant way all the time, but my thought process, yes, like I don't know if I'm just at the store or whatever, and I see someone that I might be interested in, just no, they meet the. The terrible thoughts start to flow in immediately. So, yeah, that part is like always turned on. Next question. Do you have a girlfriend? If you do, wouldn't she be bothered about the fact that you have this blog? So again, I don't really do the committed thing very often. It's, much easier to kind of keep things casual. So, to answer the first question, no, I wouldn't say I have someone I would give the title of my girlfriend. There are people in my life that I see, but no, they're not my girlfriend. And so let's say if I did have a girlfriend, would she upset if she knew about this blog? I'd say probably not. Or like if she was offended by it, then obviously she's not ready to be my girlfriend, because if someone earns that title, that's like, I mean, that's kind of serious to give your commitment to someone that, you know, if she was upset by it, it'd be kind of a failure on my part to pick the right person. And at that point, I would just be like, okay, well, I guess you're not ready to be my girlfriend. I'll find someone else who is. So, yeah. Like, if you're going to be in a relationship, I think it requires a lot of openness and honesty. And I probably tell them ahead of time, obviously. But at the same time, you know, not just anyone can fulfill that role. It has to be someone pretty special, in my opinion. Keep me like these weird noises. I should try to stop. Next question. How do you feel about tattoos? I don't really have like a strong feeling one way or the other. I'm not like one of those conservative people who's like, oh no, I can't have tattoos at all. And at the same time, they don't really like, I think they're nice, and especially if someone has like a really intricate or like meaningful tattoo, those can be pretty cool, just like any kind of form of art. But yeah, I know some people are like, oh yeah, I only date people who have tattoos. I'm not like that. I don't. I guess I'm just fine either way on tattoos. I think it's kind of interesting, especially if someone has a really like well done, really like, I know someone that took like I want to say 10 trips to get theirs finished up. And that kind of like dedication, not only, you know, how much money it took, but they had to like sit there and all the pain that they're going through to have that, it's inspiring in a way. And yeah, I'd say like I like tattoos as long as they're well done. You know, if someone just gets that tattoo just for the sake of getting one, it's not really. Like I think there's plenty of blogs that like document people with bad tattoos, and I guess it's kind of like a judge of character, really, because you can tell if someone was being irresponsible in how what kind of tattoo they got or where they got it or all kinds of things, really. And when someone really took the time to think through it and figure out what they wanted and what it means to them and. Yeah, I think there's a couple of different ways of looking at it, but there I go rambling again. In regards to my opinion on tattoos, I like girls that have them, and I like girls that don't have them. Either one is fine with me, really. Do you like curly hair? Oh, and actually. I was like, I got a couple of asks like that basically describe, well, what's your opinion on, or what do you think about, or do you like, insert physical attribute. And I want to say, like, it doesn't matter that much as it does the kind of person you are, or like the kind of person. I think I answered one question like this, where it's the person that it's attached to that's more important than the thing itself. So, you know, I've never like been talking to someone and be like, oh wow, they're an amazing person, I'm really enjoying my time with them, and then be like, oh, but she has curly hair, so no, can't talk to her anymore. Like that doesn't happen. It's I want to say. Without sounding too cheesy, that it's like the diverse things about this that make people really cool. How you can have two people that maybe, you know, had similar circumstances growing up, and maybe they look very similar, but they can have completely different personalities. And likewise, you can have people that are maybe completely different, grew up completely different parts of the world, but then end up exactly alike. And that can be really cool sometimes to experience that. So yeah. I should just like try to answer. I'm not gonna do that, but for a second I thought, you know, maybe I should just answer these questions like I would answer my Tumblr ask and give you like two words, maybe not even a complete sentence. But no, I won't do that. I promised that would be. Give you serious answers, and I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I'm just gonna go to the next question. What are your top three turnoffs when it comes to women? That's I don't know. It's not really something you spend a whole lot of time thinking about, really. It's just. Kind of like one of the things, like when it happens, you know, okay, yep, that's a turnoff, but it's not really something you dwell on. And I don't know if I'd classify these as like just sexual turnoffs. These would be just kind of in general with both men or women, where like if someone is really entitled, like if they feel they deserve something from you and they're not even appreciative of it, or they don't think they have to earn it, that just makes me not want to be around that person. I guess another thing would be if someone was like really, really negative, and I don't mean like depressed, because depression is this whole other animal that I think people should be taken care of when that happens. But if someone just is always negative for no reason, like they always find, no matter what you do, no matter how excited you are about something, they always find some way to undermine it. That just, and again, even in a sexual context, that just, yeah. Why are you even doing whatever you're trying to do, if you're just gonna be negative about it? That's always kind of a mood killer. I guess the third one would be if, I don't know if this would be part of entitlement, but if someone is like wastes your time, like if they know they're misleading you, or just, I don't know, like if they want something from you, but then they don't ever reciprocate, or yeah, if someone doesn't respect you, I guess that would be the larger part of it, by yeah, by wasting your time and doing other things that are disrespectful. That's another, it's just it's a quality of a person that I wouldn't want to spend very much time with. So oh man, thank you for the question, but I wish I didn't get so negative about it, because people are so wonderful, people are amazing, and there's it's never fun to talk shit about someone. So let's go to the next question and I'll bring the mood back up. Next question. What is it? What is your favorite thing about yourself? I guess that is a positive question. Thank you. I guess it's kind of like some of you have mentioned, probably either my voice or my laugh, because, like growing up, I was really, really shy and quiet, and I felt really like self-conscious anytime I tried to speak. And so for me to kind of get to this point where I can speak and sound confident and have people messaging me that, oh, you know, like hearing me laugh brightens up their day, just stuff like that that I never really expected to ever be able to hear from people. Yeah, that is it's just very unique. It's one of those things you, when I started recording, I didn't think people would be like sending me like, yeah, you know, I get a fair share of, oh my God, I listened to your audio, it made me come so hard, that kind of stuff. But then just people telling me all these like nice, heartwarming things, and I'm just like, oh my God, where is this coming from? So those are all very nice, and thank you to everyone that like writes to me to says those things, like, oh yeah, you know, I love your laugh, I love just nice things in general, really. I don't know, like I expect the sexual stuff, but when someone's like genuinely nice to me, I'm like, oh well, fuck, how do I respond to this? I don't know. So yeah. Oh, and that was like the serious question, or the serious answer. If you want me to give you a silly answer, it would probably be my butt. My butt is fantastic. Sometimes I'll just stand in front of a mirror and look at my own butt because it's that good. Just so you know. What's next? Oh, there we go. When did you start figuring out your kinks? Do you ever look back and realize? Oh, so that's why I felt all the good about that. For example, as a kid, I was immediately the first one to volunteer to get tied up. I guess so. There were definitely a lot of kinks I discovered after I started recording. But there were some that I had, I want to say, since I was like maybe 13 or 14 years old. And it's kind of hard to answer that because I feel like at that age, you just start figuring out your sexuality and you start to like for me, for example, and I'm sure for many others as well, if you know it's something you're not supposed to like, it you feel kind of ashamed about it. And so rather than trying to figure it out and explore it as much as possible, you instead kind of just suppress it. And it eventually kind of finds its way out on its own. So I'd say I knew I had certain kinks back when I was, yeah, like 13 years old, maybe. And then I started to look into them a little bit when I was 18, 19. But it wasn't really until I started recording when I was, how many years ago was it? I don't know. But whenever I started recording is when I started to explore my kinks more and more and more. So, yeah, that's, it's been a few years now. And I'm glad I did. Because, yeah, to kind of come to acceptance with that and to help others as well, accept that you can enjoy these parts of yourself, these desires, is it feels good. It feels good, man. So yeah. Oh, well, this is an interesting question. What's your name? I don't know if I want to reveal that publicly because it's not a very common name. So, yeah. I'm usually, so like people that talk to me privately know that I don't keep my name like a top secret kind of thing. Like usually when I start talking to someone and we talk for a little while and it gets to the point where you know each other kind of well and you trust each other, it starts to feel weird not knowing someone's name that you just like keep saying, "Oh, hey, you." So it, yeah, it definitely happens, but yeah, usually I have to wait a little while and talk to them enough until I trust them to share that with them. So yeah. So there you go. If you want to know my name, just talk to me for a little while and it'll happen. Next question. What is your biggest turn on sexually? So I would say this is different from the fetish stuff. I would say, because if you want to get in front of me with a garter belt and stockings and high heels, I have reactions. But I would say kind of part of being submissive where just like someone really, really wants you and you can tell. Like they're not doing something just because they feel like they have to. Like he's like, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll give you a blowjob if you do this other thing for me later." Like that's no fun. No, it's like when someone just like, "Oh, I want you, I need you," and they just wanna pleasure you out of their own desire, not because they feel like they're doing something for you. That just that raw kind of passion and want. It's oh, so sexy. There we go. Okay, that's more comfy. Yeah. All right. Next question. All right. Next question. Let's see. Does it matter to you if a girl is shaved or not? Could you say my name? It's Mona. Well, Mona, I would say it like doesn't necessarily have to be just like completely shaven, but as long as you keep it like neat and trim, that's really all I ask for. Because to me, it's like a sign of respect for the other person. Like, if they're gonna go down on you and you're nice enough to keep things clean so they don't get like a mouthful of hair, to me, that's like, hey, thank you. I appreciate you thinking of me. So yeah, it doesn't need to be just like completely gone, but it's as long as it's just nice. That's good enough. Can you talk about one of your favorite memories? Also, have you ever loved someone? Yeah, I think so. I think everyone's loved someone, whether it was just like a high school crush or whatever. I guess, yeah, it doesn't happen as much recently, but let's see. A favorite memory. I would have to say so, as you know, I was born in Russia, and I grew up there for a little while, and I spent quite a lot of time with my grandmother. And the way it works over there is most people, they live in the city in like an apartment or whatever, but then you also have like a house on the outskirts of town, where you have like a garden, you know, you plant your stuff, whatever, you know, everybody needs to grow their own potatoes. And so during the summer, when school's out, I would, well, my mom was working, I'd spend a lot of time with my grandmother and go with her to her garden. I remember one day, so my grandmother, she has this like cherry tree, and instead of helping her out and actually being helpful, I was just like just this lazy little shit the entire day. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and all I did was just like lay there under this cherry tree eating cherries all day. And you know, she told me, like, hey, don't eat too many, you're gonna get sick. And I was like, psh, whatever, grandma, I'll do what I want. And of course, I ate too many cherries and got a stomach ache. And I don't know, that's really it. But just, I don't know. Thinking about that reminds me of, I guess, you know, like good things from your childhood. Just the fact that, you know, as an adult, it's not something you could really do. I can't, as an adult, go to my grandmother's garden and spend all day under the cherry tree. Actually, I have to do stuff, and you know, it's not really excusable for me to do that anymore. Whereas as a child, it's just like, oh yeah, whatever. So yeah, thank you for asking me that. That's such an interesting question. Very nice question. Do you work out? I do, and one of these days, I don't know when, I'll post a picture. You're gonna like it. It's gonna have me, you know. Actually, I don't know. There's been a few people I've shared pictures with before that, I guess that was almost like a surprise that I don't know how people picture me, normally, but yeah, it's surprised a few people. I guess that's a good thing. What's your favorite fruit? Again, what is up with these non-sexual questions? But you know, I'm not complaining. Favorite fruit. I have to say, okay, so gonna give you a weird answer. My favorite fruit, in terms of like taste and texture and all that stuff, I would say is pineapple. But the problem is pineapple is like too acidic, so I can't really have it too often. So then the runner up to that question would be mangoes. Mangoes I can eat just like all day, every day. Oh, they're so good. I love them. Yeah. Next question. Thank you for that. What is your favorite dessert? Chocolate, cookies, etc. And if you want to answer this bonus part, are you into food play? Thanks, asked by Sarah. Sarah without the H. I don't know. I mean, food play, is that like if you just like have a food fight kind of while you're having sex? Not exactly sure what food play is, but I don't know what it is. I guess I can't really bend to it. What's my favorite dessert? I want to say either like cheesecake or like tiramisu, like anything that's a cake that's not too sweet, and is like kind of creamy. I really like that stuff. 'Cause yeah, I don't know. I was like, I didn't get bullied, but I always like felt so weird as a kid when everybody was like, "Oh yeah, cake, let's get a cake," and I'm just like, "No, I can't. I can't. It's too. Just I could have always had like a little bit, but I don't know. Cake, just regular, really, really sweet, sugary cake. I can't have that." Me and my weird ass taste buds. I hope you guys are enjoying this audio, by the way. These are answering all your questions. I don't even know how I'd like answer that as a Tumblr-esque. What's next? Can you wait? No, I already answered that. You like make sure I keep track of what your answer is. Here we go. All right. Next question is, do you like fuzzy socks? I guess. Is there anyone that doesn't? Is there like any fierce opponents who are like, oh no, we down with fuzzy socks. We can't have those. I do. It'd be interesting to meet someone who would like answer no to that, who's like, "Oh no, fuzzy socks, can't stand them, cannot have that." could you say my name, sir? It's Paula. Would you ever do commissioned audios at the request of one of your baby girls? That is a complex kind of thing. Because right now I just do it as a hobby, and to me that kind of grants a lot of freedom to post as often or as little as I want. And I try to, like, it's fun, so I do it kind of frequently now. There were some periods of time I went through where I did like maybe once a month or once every couple of months. So I feel like bringing money into it, or at least like a direct, I'll give you some money, will you make me an audio? That I don't know if that really feels right. Because part of me is really just like, if I make something and it's terrible, no one likes it, well, that's fine. It was just, something I made for me because I wanted to make it. But if I make something that you paid for and then you don't like it, well, then that I feel really bad about that. And I don't know. Like I'm open to suggestions and ideas, and I'm really thankful for all the stuff that you guys have sent me, because there have been a couple of audios that I guess it's been a couple I've already recorded, and there's a bunch more that I'm planning to record that are all a result of the ideas you give me. So thank you. And I think I don't know. It feels kind of weird to like take someone's money to record something for them. Because to me, it's always been kind of like in the spirit of openness and sharing. And I wouldn't want to make something that I wouldn't be able to share. I want everyone to enjoy my audios without having to pay for them. So I don't know. It depends. I guess there'd be a couple of factors. So maybe it depends. Yeah. I my instinct would be is to say no, but ideally if I can't truly say no, because if someone's like, "Hey, I'll give you $1 million," I'm like, "All right, yeah, what do you want?" but yeah, commissions are they're a tricky thing. Next question. When are you posting pictures of yourself? Will you post a selfie? That I've really been kind of on the fence about. Because, like, I want to. I know a lot of you are curious about what I look like. And it's kind of just like with my name. I want to put that out there just because it, again, in that kind of spirit of openness and sharing, but at the same time, it could come back and, you know, there are people that if they share too much of themselves, they kind of have to, it can come back to bite them, and they end up regret, you know, sharing any part of themselves that they did before. So the answer is I want to, I'd like to. I don't know, I might do some that don't reveal my entire face. And I've been meaning to take some more suit pics recently, just haven't had a chance to. And yeah. I think like if I do this, I'd want to be do it carefully, and because I don't ever want to feel like I regret doing what I do. So that just means kind of being safe and private. But I mean, I do again, kind of like when I mentioned regarding my name, people that I talk to and get to know and start to trust that. You know, it just kind of happens on its own eventually. So if you're very curious about that, just talk to me, get to know me, and it might happen. You never know. Next question. Will you say my name on the audio ask? It's Sydney. I hope you enjoyed that, Sydney. And Mona and Sarah and whoever else wanted me to say their name. How do you come up with your audio ideas? It varies. So, some are suggestions, some are, like asks and stuff. Some stuff I come up with, on my own. Some of them are just like my own fantasies. And for a lot of audios, it kind of just happens where I take. Maybe it happened to me or someone I know, like a regular everyday situation, and you just put a sexual twist on it. So there's been a couple audios like the coffee shop one where or I think there's been a couple where like you know my listeners have told me like, oh yeah, you know, I listen to you while I'm on my lunch break having coffee or I'm doing something else or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, what if I made an audio of that? Or, you know, a lot of people say they listen in public or while they're at work. And that's why I did a couple of audios like that, where, you know, they're work related or, you know, the ones I'm talking about. So yeah, sometimes ideas come to me from just like regular everyday stuff. And, yeah, it's fun to, turn that into a fantasy. Because I think everyone kind of fantasizes about that kind of stuff where, like, you know, if you're sitting having coffee, you're like, oh man, I wish, like, what if someone came over and, you know, something happened? It's fun to think about that kind of stuff. And obviously, there's all kinds of risks to actually doing that stuff in real life. But at least with an audio, you kind of get to experience it in a way without really having to risk, you know, having sex in public. Let me go oh yeah, I realized shit, I forgot I have the stereo feature turned on my microphone, so I keep like having to look away to look at the questions. So if my voice is like all over the place, like it is right now, like I'm doing intentionally. I apologize in advance, so you'll just have to bear with me. Audio ask from Raven. Are you a good dinner? Whether or not you are, what is one of your favorite songs to sing? Oh, are you a good singer? I guess is what you meant. I don't know. Maybe I'm a good dinner. You don't know. I don't know if I could say if I'd consider myself a good singer. I do enjoy singing. I do it all the time, like in my car when I'm going to work or whatever. What's one of my favorite songs to sing? I want to say, fuck, there's a couple, but I'm gonna go with "Strangers in the Night" by Frank Sinatra. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. It's one of those songs that's like easy enough for me to sing, but at the same time, it has enough variance to it that it's not just me singing the same thing over and over again. So, yeah, I like it though. And it's one of those, you know, it's a, again, it's a song that has a story to it. So I like it because of that as well. All right. Out of all your audios, which one are you the most proud of? I think someone asked me that on Tumblr today as well. That would be okay. Hold on, let me just position one more time. That would be a teacher sped on prom night, because that audio took the most amount of time, I guess, overall to make. And it's kind of unique in that I think it's the only audio I've done that has audio effects from the start to finish. Like, I have some other ones where they start out with audio effects, or they have some in the middle or at the end, but this is the only one that has them all the way through. And so it was kind of difficult to get all that done right. But it's one of those things where, like, the audio that I had envisioned in my mind, when it finally came out, when I was finished with it, it was exactly how I'd wanted it, how I'd pictured it. And so, yeah, to be able to accomplish that, it feels great. So I'm proud of it because of that. The other reason I really like it is because, so most of my audios, they're like just mostly sexual in nature. That's kind of their whole point. But with this one, I got to tell more of a like an emotional side to it. Like, it's, I think everyone has experienced that feeling of just being vulnerable and being hurt and just wanting to have someone there to comfort you and make you feel better without, like, when you're in that state, the last thing you want is for someone to take advantage of you or pressure you. And so that's what it has, I think, is someone that tries to make you feel better and cheer you up and, yeah, just help you deal when you're in that kind of situation. And then it does have the sex part to it at the end, but even still, it's not, it's dominant, but it's not dominant in the usual way that I do in my audios. It's still, it's like just two people who are, have this desire, this like want for each other. And, you know, it's just kind of got a little bit of everything to it. That's why I really liked it, because there's not a whole lot of audios I've done that are like that one. And yeah, it's special to me for that, because I know, I think there's been a few people that said that that audio they just like to listen to for just to be able to like lie there and picture being in that, you know, in what it sounds like. Because it has that level of immersion to it. And so that would be the audio I'm most proud of. And I would say my other audio that at least deserves a mention would be the breakup audio I did. That one, it's kind of special to me for other reasons, because, so like the reason I recorded it was because I listened to someone else, and I think it was also a Hate Fuck audio. And when I was listening to them, like I could hear like an emotion to it, Like the hate they felt real to me. And I thought that was like really interesting. It felt really unique in that most of the audios that I listen to, they follow somewhat the same structure, and they have the same kind of like sexual feeling to it. And like you know it's a fantasy. You know it's play pretend. It's not real. And I wanted to make an audio that was kind of the opposite of that. That felt real. That felt like had real emotion to it. That felt actual, you know, hate and fear and all this stuff. And so yeah, the breakup audio, it was it's very difficult to record. Just to like, I had to force myself to get into that mental state, and it you know, it's not a place I want to go to again, but at the same time, I'm glad I got to experience that. Just because in excuse me, regular everyday life, you know, I don't really raise my voice or scream or do any of the stuff I did in the audio, and it was nice to like to be able to experience that, to just let that kind of raw emotion just fly. And not worry about, not have to think about what I was saying. It was an interesting feeling to be able to do that. And yeah, that was the other audio I want to say that is very, very unique in that. I don't have any, like, I have some audios that are like, okay, well, you know, I have one or two others that are similar to it, or maybe it's the same kind of theme, just done a different way. There's no other audio I've done that's like the breakup. Yeah, it's kind of its own thing, and I don't know if I would even want to record something else like it, because, yeah, it really took a lot out of me to be able to do it in the first place, so. Yeah. Man, that was a very long answer. Let's see. What else? Oh, okay. And this is a question from Rebecca. I've noticed that there are two pictures of you. In both of them, you have a bracelet on your right hand. Is it for design, or does it hold a special meaning? That one, it kind of both. Like, I collect watches, and so I have a bunch of different ones. So anytime I go out, I like to have one of my watches on. And to me, it just feels kind of off balance to have something on one wrist but not on the other one. And so I then also started getting into bracelets. So now I try to have, you know, some flair, some flash, to have on there. And that specific bracelet is, yeah, I really like how it looks. And it also does have a special meaning. It was a gift from someone that meant a lot to me, but yeah, I don't know. I could go a lot more into it than that, but I think I'll just leave it there. So, yeah, that's it. And oh, other question. Oh yeah, I've gotten this one got asked by a bunch of people, so this would be just one answer for all of you. How did you get into recording, and did you find your dominant side by yourself, or you know, have you always been like this? So I haven't always been like this. It is something that just kind of developed as I've been recording over time. And the way I started was I started on this subreddit called Gone Wild Audio. One day I just kind of found it, started listening to it, and I really, really enjoyed it because it was so different from porn. Because porn is just so fake. All the moans and everything they say and do just it's so fake. And it's kind of hard to enjoy that sometimes. But with the audios I listened to, it the fact that it was so authentic, so real, the sounds that people made, it was, I don't know how to describe it. It just, it was so different. And yeah, I really enjoyed listening for a while. I lurked for, I want to say, a couple months, and then eventually I decided to record something of my own. I think the first one I did was just maybe a reaction to one of the audios that I had listened to. And I think when I first posted it, it was just fucking terrible because it sounded terrible. And it, yeah, I knew that audio on its own wasn't good, but then I just kept going. I think, yeah, I started out just like recording with my phone, so the audio quality wasn't that good. And yeah, that's what got me started. And I think the first couple audios did were M sub. Then eventually I tried an M Dom, and I really enjoyed it because the person that I started listening to that did a bunch of femdom stuff that I liked, she also did fem sub. And so I listened to her, and it kind of like, as I listened, I'm sure many of you have experienced this as well, where like as you're listening to it, you just start reacting, even though you know it's a pre-recorded thing, like you're not really talking to the other person, it still feels that way. It's still like you're not forcing the reaction, it just kind of happens on its own. And it feels like so great when that happens. And that's how I kind of got started down that dominant path, was I listened to them and I just started reacting in a dominant way. And so yeah, eventually I started to record more and more of that kind of stuff, and exploring different kinks. And yeah, there was some stuff that I enjoyed, some stuff I didn't. I think, yeah, it's important to at least try to kind of stretch your comfort zone. Yeah, that's how I started. I think, yeah, eventually I did like an audio with some sound effects, and I found that, oh wow, people really enjoyed that. So I did try to include more and more of that. And yeah, it I think it's funny actually how, because like one of the things people enjoy the most or have commented about the most is like, you know, my evil laugh and my growling and all that stuff. And that stuff I didn't always do. Like it yeah, I remember like the first time I actually growled because I was listening to an audio where it was like a femdom denial, and it just got me so frustrated and so like just like not being able to come. Yeah, that was exactly the reaction. I was like, and I was like, oh my God, did I just growl? I never growled before. And I don't know, kept listening to more and more stuff, and it developed on its own really to now it's just gotten to the point where I don't even really control it. It happens completely on its own, and it's good in a way, I suppose, because yeah, when you try to force a certain reaction, it never really sounds as good. So then when it happens naturally, it's a lot more authentic, and I think people enjoy listening to that more than had you try to force it. So yeah. I believe that's all the questions. If there's anyone's question that I missed, or yeah, if there's anything you need like clarification on, or you know, maybe if I didn't answer the question the way you thought I would have, just let me know. I'm not sure yet if I'm gonna do another one of these, 'cause looking at it, it's already like over an hour long. And fuck, I'm probably gonna have to split it up into multiple parts because Tumblr has pretty ridiculous size restrictions. So yeah, I think it'd be fun to do another one of these. But hopefully everyone that wanted to ask me something got a chance to. And if yeah, hopefully anyone that started listening to this to fall asleep, you got a chance to do that. If you didn't, go to sleep, baby girl. thank you for listening, and we'll see how things go, and I might actually do this again sometime.